From coast to coast and around the world, you are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with stimulating guests from all over the world who help to uplift consciousness. This is a live call-in show, so please give us a call toll-free at 1-888-268-4313 or 281-419-7697 for our international callers. You can also email your question to us at spiritsers@walkingwithspirit.net, and they will be answered in real time on the air. Now, a bit about me for our new listeners. I'm an intuitive energy therapist with 25 years' experience. I have helped thousands of people, from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives, make their invisible dreams visible. Utilizing my gifts, I simultaneously am in touch with the past, present, and future, eliminating the fog and paving the way for clarity. I work with Eastern, Western, African, and Caribbean methodologies, in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. If you're looking for peace of mind, the right relationship, financial independence, or clarity about your life's purpose, give me a call. My life's purpose is to be of service to you. I can be reached toll-free at 888-240-6057 or check out either one of my websites, www.walkingwithspirit.net or www.healing-visions.com. Well, tonight I have the honor to have my very good friend with me, Alejandra. Alejandra is the author and creator of Healing with the Rainbow Rays, and she's an internationally known author, teacher, healer, and channel of source based in San Jose, California. Intuitive and empathic her whole life, she originally trained as a registered nurse. She has focused her attention for the last 19 years to the development and practice of color energy therapy. She additionally trained in several healing and bodywork modalities, which she frequently uses. In recent years, her focus has been more on the spiritual visionary side and how to effectively apply it to the holistic healing process. She is the founder and author of Healing with the Rainbow Rays, a pioneering work in a little-known field. Several years ago, she developed the modality of transfigurational matrix healing, which continues to yield ongoing cutting-edge new material. Alejandra has appeared in numerous radio and TV shows, New Age expos, and other conferences. Her articles have appeared in Rainbow News, Insight Magazine, Continuum Magazine, Spirit Web, and several other online e-zines. She is currently completing a new book called Cosmic Chakras, Advanced Transfigurational Matrix Healing Techniques. Alejandra, I knew I was going to get that wrong, to reclaim your divine oneness. And she is concurrently writing a personal experience book as well. You can visit Alejandra's website at www.colorhealing.com. That's colorhealing.com. Welcome, Alejandra.
Well, thank you, Monique. It's great to be back with you.
Thank you. It's great to have you here with me. Now, for those who don't know you quite as well as I do, why don't you give us a little bit more in-depth synopsis of your background and how you got to writing about color?
Well, it was quite a journey. We all have our stories. I did start out, as you said, as a registered nurse, and but for many years prior to going through the training, I always had a fascination with the human body. To the point where, hopefully this isn't repeating for some people who have heard it, but I was so obsessed, in a sense, or let's put it this way, interested, that I, at the time they were just starting the heart transplants, and I used to look at Life magazine and cut out the pictures and put it in a scrapbook, and you know, I was interested in all the different organs in the body, and it was just inevitable I would either go into medicine or nursing, and since I'm not much into math, it was going to be nursing. So I eventually trained, and I got towards the end of, right, actually the last semester of nursing, and I realized I didn't really want to do that style of healing. And I was always metaphysical, so I thought, well, maybe I should, you know, go more into a field like that. And so I did take my boards, and I passed them, and I kept the license for a year, but I never did practice as an RN. But I do have all that training, and it has served me well over the years to have gone through that. So I kind of didn't do much for a few years there other than, you know, get married, have kids, and kind of do that thing.
So
you know, that's a lot of work, you know.
Yeah.
But nothing in the field, really. I mean, it was more just doing life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hit 30, and I thought, oh, my gosh, what have I done with my life? I'm supposed to be doing something here, and I don't seem to be doing it, you know, exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, some sort of service work. And so I started going back to the fair, psychic fairs, and every time I get a reading, they'd say, well, you're a healer. And I go, well, been there, done that. And they say, no, 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 it's something unusual. We don't know what it is, but it's something unusual. And, you know, as I've said many times before when I've been recounting this story, you know how it is when you are led to the right person, the right book, the right class, you know, that kind of thing. It's you just sort of open up and you're led really to the, you know, each step of the way. And it kept showing color, you know, auras and color and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually, after 2-3 years of hanging out at the fairs and reading, I started working for the Aura Camera and was training myself in reading the auras off the pictures as well as operating the camera and starting to do some healing techniques. I finally hung my shingle up. And the first book, Healing with the Rainbow Rays, was a 7-year compilation of material that I got when I first started, and it was published in 1995. Even though I've been at this since like 86, approximately, the book was a few years in the making because I had to bring forth the material to put in it. And eventually, it was published in 95, and then I had a couple-year hiatus of just kind of relaxing with that, and then the new material for the new book, Cosmic Chakras, started coming through in 97. And I am finishing that up now. Hopefully we'll have it out in January. And that's been about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So my books take a while to write, even though I've got a couple others on the back burner, too.
Yeah, well, they may take a while to write, but, you know, I had your book long before I met you. In fact, I remember meeting you succinctly. You were at a psychic fair where I was doing readings, and you walked by because you knew the gentleman sitting next to me, Joseph Martin, and you introduced yourself, and when you said Alejandra, I'm like, I know you! I've got your book, and I got all excited.
It's like, I have your book!
But, you know, your book has truly served me very, very well, and in fact, it's door geared, so I think I got it probably right when you first published it.
Yeah.
I want to ask, how do you truly feel that color influences us?
Oh, in so many ways that, it'd probably take two encyclopedias to tell us, but I think there's enough understanding, at least even in the traditional medical field, to know that you know, the colors do impact us because we're visual, and there is a vibratory rate to each color. And while they may not look at what I do as being particularly mainstream, they still will admit that people are affected by the colors of the walls that they're around or what they're wearing. And it's been pretty much shown over and over again that all of that has a real direct impact on us. And, of course, us meaning our bodies, our minds, our emotions, and our spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing is taking it a little further because that's been done. It would be repetitive for me to do the environmental color stuff and all that stuff. And I'm taking it into the healing arts, the alternative healing arts, where you're actually tapping into color frequency or light, what is termed, you know, the radiance of creation that comes forth as light, can be broken down into, or at least, broken down is the word, but it's composed of color frequency, you know, colors and hues and shades of colors.
Okay. Well, Ollie, without giving away, you know, the story about your books, how does one tap into color frequencies? And why
actually pretty easily. You know, the book is to help that. What I've done is try to, you know, make it real easy for us. Like, this is what you do, number one, and number two, number three. So that's probably the best way if you want to, you know, start. But I would say that anybody could do it with or without the book. in terms of just being open to it. Now, I also recommend if people are in the healing arts that they do the basics of grounding, clearing, balancing, and protecting, because there's a lot of frequencies of energy out there. Some of it's not so hot, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us in the field who've been messed with and have had different interesting experiences with so-called negative energy, you don't want to just go, ooh, I'm open, you know, and now just come on in, everybody. You know, you have to have some discernment there. And so I do suggest that before you open up and say, hey, caller, come on in, that you do your protection, that you bring your guidance in, or your angelic kingdom, or source itself, but definitely do some sort of high on energy, statement or connection with those beings.
Okay.
And
well, if you're doing a you're trying to channel in, let's say yellow. I think yellow is a pretty nifty color, and
mm-hmm.
it, to me, it brings warmth and sunshine. Why would you need the protection?
Well, because it's just that any time I work with healers, okay,
uh-huh.
and healers are usually really open, empathic type people. That's just the way they're built, and they've often been in a sense messed with by negative energies because they're so open. It's kind of like what we used to call the do drop in.
Uh-huh.
You know, just do drop in, you know, anything, you know. So you want to set the parameters of what you're willing to bring into your auric field and into your body.
Okay.
Because there's so much out there that even if your heart's in the right place, for some reason it's been set up this way that we, and at least in this dualistic universe, that we need to do some sort of protection. You know, in a oneness, divine, beautiful universe, we wouldn't need to do this, but this is Earth. And we still have a lot of mixed energy, so you've got to determine, you know, and color can come through where it's been messed with, and it's not the highest level.
Okay.
So you want to make sure you get just pure color coming through from a high level that's something that you can tolerate as well. Not every high level people can handle
mm-hmm.
because they may not resonate with it, but you want to say, you know, whatever I can resonate with at my body level and the highest level possible. And, you know, that's why you ask for the protection. And then after you do it, you always clear because
mm-hmm.
you don't want to, if you're running into someone, you end up a lot of times with their stuff in your auric field. So you need to clear that out of the way. And grounding just keeps you present and here and focused instead of out of your body. So that's obvious. And then balancing is another thing that's great because it helps to keep you in tune with yourself. So if you chakra balance, you know, the centers of the body, you're much more present, and it helps you ground, and you just feel more balanced overall. So that's kind of the Bible of color healing. There really isn't a lot of rules otherwise, but those things are really important because you can get into trouble kind of like scuba diving without any lessons. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't think of doing that without scuba lessons because you could kill yourself. And I'm just saying that with something like this, you know, I've seen too many people get hurt from not protecting and that kind of thing. And,
mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've been in it too long. I've seen too much, and I know that people can get into trouble.
Okay. Well, is there any one color that's preferable over another?
No, I absolutely think there are no superior colors and no inferior colors. Your red, that's often red, especially red and black, actually, are
yeah.
probably the two most maligned colors.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of issues that even people in the metaphysical field have issues. Some of them. And so I've had to really go around saying red is fine, black is fine, you know, over the years. So, it's fine to use those, and you actually can heal with those, because a lot of them will say, well, they're okay colors, but don't heal with them.
Mm-hmm.
They are just as powerful as the beautiful purple ray that we're all, you know, the violet ray, or the, you know, the rose, or the, you know, the indigo, some mm-hmm. we consider the higher rays. There really is no hierarchy with the rays. That's what I love about it. It's all equal.
Uh-huh.
And they're just as important and have their functions as the so-called higher-level chakra
okay.
rays.
Okay. Well, earlier you talked about, you know, balancing out the mind, body, spirit, emotions. How can we do that with color, and what color would we know? Like, take a person who's been depressed, they've been chronically depressed for a while. What would you suggest for them to help come back into balance and straighten out their aura and chakras? Or is the aura and chakra necessary to bring into the equation?
Yeah, you would want to involve your aura, the aura and the chakra for someone who's depressed. Let's say it's not something where they need to be on medication. I'm not a big pill pusher, but say someone is just going through a rough time and they're
uh-huh.
feeling depressed. okay, and it's not a clinical thing, all right? So I just want to preface that. But say they come in and they just had so much happening and they just feel overwhelmed. A lot of times depression is, though, a certain amount of anger that's turned inward. It's like not maybe acceptable to express that you're feeling pissed off, okay?
Okay.
And so what we tend to do is we turn it in, and that can cause depression. Or, like, say, a lot of grief. Say you just had someone close to you really, you know, that died, and you're feeling depressed after the initial sadness. And it's just, so you kind of want to, what I would do is sit down with them and get to the depth, or, right to the crux of what's going on. Okay, what's been going on? When did this start? What happened just before? And then what you do, they kind of share some things, and you get ideas about what to do when they're on the table. And then you put them on the table, and I just let my intuition go for it, because my guides and my higher self know better than my little mental self what best to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of get out of the way and let that come through me for them. I'll often get a lot of intuitional material, what's termed psychic messages and things for them. And what happens is you usually see the chakras in kind of a mucky mess when there's been depression and stuff, depending on how severe it's been and what's going on and what the person's like normally. I mean, everybody's all different levels of it, But let's say someone who's normally a sunny, cheerful person is going through a hard time. What I would probably do is go through and, just do some chakra clean, go through and look at each one and see, what's going on, and help them to clear it, bring in the colors to replace the old energies that had gotten in there. Once you clear them out, it's much like cleaning house. This stuff can be very practical, and I tend to make it very every day. And I talk it like it's just like cleaning your house or taking the car to get gassed. Basically, I don't see this stuff as particularly woo-woo. It's just doing the job, And the stuff works when you have the intent to do it. And I find that sometimes you just need to be cleaned out. You just clear out the chakras, clear out the bodies. Infuse the higher level and the energies that they're used to having around them at a higher level back in there, and they go out of there. I have people that come in literally crying,
mm-hmm.
and they leave out of here, laughing and smiling an hour later, an hour and a half later. I wish I had Polaroids. But it's, and some of them that come in are in pain, physical pain, so
mm-hmm.
that's usually the crying part.
So do you basically use color as a cosmic Roto-Rooter?
Oh, yeah. Roto-Rooter is great. I'll have to use that one. I'm going to steal that one, Monique. But it is like a Roto-Rooter, actually.
Uh-huh.
This stuff is really it's very down to earth. I mean, even though these colors and rays are really sublime and they're highly radiant and what you'd call multidimensional, all that, when we bring them through us, we make them accessible for us here on the earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
I step down those energies through me, but, try to keep them as high as I can, but basically
right.
they become more for a third plane person to be able to take in. Because a lot of stuff, I'm sure our angels are constantly sending us energy, but how much do we actually feel?
Right,
because
or acknowledge, right.
It's coming from anything from the seventh dimension up,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty rarefied. And a lot of times we might feel something from them, but we don't. It's too rarefied for us, the frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the healer and the psychic and others that do healing kinds of stuff, they step it down without losing its integrity,
mm-hmm.
to make it so it works here.
Okay.
A lot of this is like radio stations and TVs and, it's kind of what we are, almost like you tune us on, turn us to the right channel, boom, and the stuff comes out. It's pretty basic.
Okay.
Of how to do it, and almost anyone could be taught how to do it. Obviously, you have people that are born as healers that have an automatic talent, but you could literally take someone with no talent as long as they were open and show them how to do it, and they would be, to more or less, greater or lesser degree, they would be able to run the energy.
Okay. Now, Allie, if someone was interested in a healing with you, would they have to come to you in person, or can this be done over the phone?
It can be done over the phone. A lot of times I do what's called long distance, and what I'll do is I'll talk to them initially on the phone, and then I go and I lie down on my table, or I sit up, depending on how intense it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
And I go to where they are and do long distance that way. My preference is in person because it's much more tangible for them.
Mm-hmm.
The long distance person going to go, is she really doing something?
Yeah.
It's tougher for them to feel it, but when my hands are on them, they feel it.
Okay.
So I really like to do in person, but I'm willing to do and have done many times over the years long-distance healing.
Okay. Now, I also know that you give classes and seminars. What classes do you have coming up?
Well, actually, it's the end of the year, so I don't really do much because it's too crazy, you know, this time of year to try to do anything.
The
forget
holidays,
it after the holidays.
The
I mean, yeah, it's nuts. I have people, you know, sign up and don't show up and that kind of thing. So I've learned not to really do much at the end of the year. Okay, so my first ones in January, I usually let people sort of get their bearings again. So my first ones this year, coming up year, are going to be in February, and I'm going to be doing a basic color class up in Ashland, Oregon. I'm in the San Jose area. Mm-hmm. Of the California area. So I'll be going up to Ashland, Oregon for that, for 3-day intensive. And then the same month I will be going to McAllen, Texas, where I have a group of healers. I've been several times to teach them. And there we're going to learn the new matrix work.
Okay.
Coming from the new book. And that's a 2-day class, 2 days and 1 night class in February. And I'll be going over to East West Books in Sacramento to do a book signing and talk on the new book in February. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple radio shows so far. So that's it coming up. There'll be, you know, as I get closer to the new year, you know, we'll be scheduling out into the year, you know, various other places where I'll be going, and some of it's international.
Okay. Okay, well, we're speaking today with Alejandra. You can find out more about her work by visiting her website, and that's www.colorhealing.com. Alejandra, is there a telephone number that people can connect with you, or,
yes,
or do you prefer the website?
No, actually, I love to hear from people. So, in fact, if I just want to say on the website, I've had some problems with my computer lately. It seems to be working fine now, but as we all know, with the spam protectors and stuff, I might miss your email. So if you don't hear from me, please try again, because sometimes the mail just doesn't get there.
Okay.
But the place to reach me by phone is 408-986-8550. So 408-986-8550. And I do have a recording on it if you don't reach me live, and I will get back to you when you call. Give
okay.
me a couple days, though.
Okay, well, you have the book out, you know, Healing with the Rainbow Rays. Now, you also have a CD, and the CD is around your work with dolphins and healing, the healing energy of dolphins. How did
yeah.
you come across that?
Oh, well, I've always been in love with dolphins from as long as I can remember. I'm sure I must have been dolphin
mm-hmm.
some past life. So just a connection that I've always felt, and I've had experiences, different ones, noteworthy ones throughout my life, you know, in terms of telepathic communication and that kind of thing. And so with the new material, I got 4 new dolphin techniques on connecting with dolphins and merging with dolphins. And so I took all 4 in the new book, Cosmic Chakras, but on the CD that I put out about a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
called Dolphin Merging, Volume 1, because I expect to do another one.
Okay.
And it has, it's a little over, I think it's 62 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got 2 techniques on there, and I really couldn't put all 4. So I've got 2 of the techniques on that one. And eventually I'll do the other 2, and I'm sure there'll be other techniques that come forward, because I plan to do a series of dolphin ones. But it is available through me or through Amazon.com, and along with the book also is through me or through Amazon. And it was real fun to do it, and people, when they listen to it, they really actually feel the dolphins come into the room and connect with them. And when we do it in a group, I had 2 separate groups that didn't know what the other group experienced, and both groups had people that saw, when we were doing the technique, of etheric dolphins coming along the ceiling from a corner of the room. And both times, once was in Seattle and once was in San Jose, they saw the same exact thing. It wasn't even taught at the time.
Huh.
And people in both rooms saw them come in the same way, through a corner
mm-hmm.
of the room along the ceiling. And then they eventually go to each person. So,
because wow.
they're etheric dolphins we're working with. It's like they're light bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're obviously not real dolphins coming in the room in terms of their bodies.
Right.
So what they do is they travel a lot out of body, because they are so sophisticated and intelligent. They have 3 frontal lobes. We only have 2, which should tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
But they're able to be awake and asleep at the same time.
Whoa, I didn't realize that.
Yep, it's amazing.
Huh.
They're asleep. They turn off a portion of their brain, and they're asleep and awake at the same, and they lucid dream. So they're out of their bodies a lot, too. So all you do have to do is call up. And someone that you've probably connected with in the past will, you know, once you ask them, they will come to you. And so this is a way to do it if you don't take a class in it with me.
Uh-huh.
You can have the CD to, you know, do it on your own.
Okay. Well, this is a live call-in show. You can give us a call toll-free at 1-888-268-4313. Or for our international listeners, they can call in at 281-419-7697. Allie, you know me. I'm always on a diet, right? So, let me ask you this. How does the color of different foods affect us?
You know, it's funny enough. I've been asked that before, and I've never really made a study of it. I'm not so sure. Yeah, I do think that they have a somewhat of influence. Like, I think when I was doing a lot of my second chakra healing, I was eating a lot of orange things, like those, you know, like orange juice and orange, you know, those orange crackers that got peanut butter in them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was living on them for a while, and I started to realize that I had this thing for orange food. So I think I was probably using the color of the foods to help. I think, though, that it has, as all color does, has a mild impact at least on you. But really what it is what goes best with your metabolism. It comes down to, you know, really the proper foods and how you oxidize them and that kind of thing.
Okay. Could you give us a quick rundown of properties of the major colors like red, orange, green, yellow, blue,
sure,
purple?
Yeah,
okay.
No problem. I'm going to do this off the top of my head. I don't have a book in front of me.
Yay!
But I should know it by now, right? So the first one is red, and it is located at your base chakra. Now, you'll find that you're a rainbow, so I'm going to be going up. As I say the colors, I'll also tell you where the chakra is, that's the corresponding chakra in your body. So the base one is down near the tailbone and pubic bone, whatever you want to call it. And it is considered the first chakra or the base chakra, and it's a beautiful red. Now, everybody's red is different. I want to say everybody's colors are different.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to know what shade you have, what you can do is play with crayons and kind of just start dabbling, and then you'll suddenly probably draw the color shades that you have. Or you'll just you can tune in and see, you know, what color that, you know, by intuition.
Okay.
What shade you are. So each shade makes, you know, is different. So there's a million gazillion shades of red.
Okay.
Sorry about that call waiting thing here.
Okay.
Anyway, so that the base chakra has to do with your groundedness to earth, as does the red ray. It helps you to ground. It's your, as Carolyn Mace calls it, your tribal energy. And the tribal means the people you hang with,
mm-hmm.
your family, your friends, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just connection to earth. You know, you're feeling grounded to the earth and things of the earth. I won't go into the endocrine system and all that because that's just too take forever. But there's an endocrine involvement with each chakra,
mm-hmm.
and that you can get from the book. The second one is in the abdomen, and it's orange, and that's the orange ray. I'm going to talk about the 13 rays. The orange, or the second chakra, or it's also called the spleen chakra or sexual chakra, they have several names. That orange has to do with whether you're male or female. It tends to be a feminine energy,
mm-hmm.
In the matter of female or female body, and it has a lot to do with shamanic stuff. It has a lot to do with your connection to the earth as well. It is a physical color like the red. It's also a sexual color. It's sort of like the kind where you plunge your hands into the soil, you know, in garden.
Mm-hmm.
It has that kind of creativity or reproductive creativity, like to give birth to something.
Okay.
Whether it's a person or an idea or whatever. And that's the orange, and they're both physical colors and physical chakras, the red and the orange. Then you go up to around the what's called the solar plexus or the navel area, and it is called the third chakra or solar plexus chakra, and it's the yellow you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow is a very sunny color. It's also got a certain amount of mentalness to it. A person with a lot of yellow in the aura is probably extroverted, but they may have a lot of the mental mind, you know, that tends to maybe rule over the heart, but not necessarily, you know, but it has a lot of mental energy.
Mm-hmm.
And yellow and that chakra have to do with your self-esteem and your self-worth and your sense of power, whether you're feeling powerful or powerless. And it also is one of the major chakras for having a lot of problems in people. meaning this, if there's going to be any place that they have a problem, it'll be there.
I mean,
okay. The majority of people seem to have an issue there, which causes digestive problems and that kind of thing, too. You'll find when you have a chakra out, or that's not being utilized, or it's being it's negatively impacted, that the organs that are near those chakras will be impacted as well. So if you tend to have digestive issues and things, you might want to look at healing the third chakra.
Okay.
And that's the last physical one. So those are the first three. Then you get to the transitional chakra up at the heart, and that's green. And it's considered the first emotional chakra, not a physical. It's considered an emotional.
Uh-huh.
And it's a beautiful green, or, you know, any number of shades from sea green to forest green, and any, you know, or emerald or whatever. There's all different colors of green.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of overall physical healing. If you're wanting just overall physical type healing and also connection to nature,
uh-huh.
you know, green's your color.
Okay.
And then above the green is a chakra that most metaphysicians don't tend to acknowledge that there is one there, and it, there is. And it's the rose chakra. And it's above and a little behind the green, but it's still in the chest cavity area.
Right.
It's down from the throat, still in the chest area. And that has to do more, that's the emotional chakra as well, and it has more to do with the emotional healing than the green does. Green tends to be more physical. Rose is strictly emotional.
Okay.
And you'll find a lot of therapists that are in the right field and are very compassionate. People that are compassionate will run a lot of rows. It has to do with your unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
there, or lack of it. There, you know, and it's definitely a Christ consciousness center. And I found that if you could go through the heart chakra, you can go straight to source quicker than you can go about any other way.
I agree.
With an open chakra, even faster than through the head, through the crown chakra. That's a little, I'm glad you agree, that's a little revolutionary. I know you don't hear a lot of people saying that, but I've been for a while, and I hope eventually that people start to see that, because it is a really quick method for getting to source. Then you get up to the blues, and at your throat chakra, which is the fifth, I call the back to the heart, the first, that's the fourth chakra, but I call it 4A and 4B to keep the numbering the same.
Okay.
So still with this chakra up at the throat, and that is a translucent blue, which means anything from a light powder blue to like medium blues, or what's that one called? It's not a medium blue, but I can't think of the name, but it's a bright blue.
Okay.
And the shades can range anywhere in there. The throat chakra has to do with your communication, your ability to speak your truth. Your creativity in terms of artisticness. You see a lot of ministers and teachers and people that deal with the public, PR people, that will have a lot of blue.
Mm-hmm.
I also have seen a lot of the angelic kingdom run on that color. So they tend to really like that, a lot of the angels.
Mm, okay.
They come on that blue.
Mm-hmm.
And Archangel Michael has one that's a real electric blue. And that throat chakra has to do with, you know, like I said, being able to speak your truth. And that is as much trouble as the third chakra in terms of people's issues, because so many people have been told they can't speak, they shouldn't speak, they shouldn't be heard, you know,
mm-hmm.
from babyhood on. And you'll find that things like TMJ that sets into the jaw and all that is all coming from a shutdown, or at least a compromised chakra there.
Okay.
So then you get up to the third eye and you start looking at intuition. But it also is the balance between the left brain and the right brain, or the logic and the intuition. And that's indigo. And that's, for some people say, what's indigo? It's actually a deep blue.
Uh-huh.
So it ranges from that mid-range blue that we left off with at the last chakra,
right,
up to something like navy blue even, or midnight blue, some of the ones with a lot of black in it.
Okay.
By the way, that's not bad, actually. That's a really powerful
yeah.
blue to have, those uh-huh. those dark blues. Because the black in there brings a lot of movement and Tao energy into the blue.
Mm-hmm.
So the balance of male and female, the balance of logic and intuition, and also the third eye specifically has to do with clairvoyance and psychic abilities. Then you get up to the crown, and that's at the top of the head, right up on top,
mm-hmm.
and that's considered violet. Some people call it purple. That's fine. We usually just call it violet. And that has to do with the seat of wisdom in the body. It's the thousand-petaled lotus of self-realization and connection to source and all that. And, of course, the purples range from a very light orchid or lavender to some of the deep royal purples, which are quite lovely. Well, all of them are pretty. And so that's the seventh chakra. Now, those top three, I will say that the emotional, when I said that the heart was the two, those two centers were emotional,
right.
Your throat also is emotional. And then at the third eye, you start looking at mental, spiritual,
okay.
And at the crown, it's spiritual.
Okay.
So I just want to tell the people how they're sliced and diced in the body. Then outside the body, you have several colors. You have below the feet, silver, and that is the divine feminine energy or the love energy of creation,
mm-hmm.
the law of love. And then above the head, you have the gold, which is the divine father or masculine energy of creation, and that's the divine law or the universal law of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two are there, and they're hovering in the auric field about half a foot below the feet, half a foot above the head.
Okay.
Then you have the last three, and these are the triad. This is what the original colors all came from, these three original colors. And they're white, clear, and black. Now, what we do is we put the white in the dominant palm, we put the clear in the non-dominant palm of your hand, and we put the black below the silver below the feet, so it's about a foot below the feet. Now, the white is protection energy, and it contains all the other rays in it.
Uh-huh.
The clear is clarity and truth, and it looks like a clear quartz crystal with prisms in it, and that has all the colors in it. And black also has all the colors in it, and that's the Tao, testing, and movement. It's the black matter. I feel it's called the black matter, the dark matter in space. I feel it's the black ray.
Uh-huh.
And the black ray energy is in all the elements, air, earth, fire, water, and ether. And of all the rays, it's probably considered the most important because it has the biggest job. It's also been maligned the worst. You know, they think that if you're using black ray energy that you're evil. And that's not
that's
the case.
So far from the case. Yeah.
Yeah, what it is literally the Tao. And it's just, if you look in the space, that's what you're looking at. But it's actually in water, which is really a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Black ray in water and in fire and ether and earth. So very, very powerful ray. It's my favorite, actually, if I had a favorite, because of what it does and because it needs also someone to champion it, and I've taken that role on to champion that. You know, if I don't do anything else in this life, I'm going to give it respect.
There you go.
And people are actually starting to, I mean, before when I started with it, it was like nobody had anything good to say except people who had trained with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're starting to hear people say, well, you know, black is a, you know. And I've really seen a turnaround in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So there's starting to be an acceptance there. But, you know, they used to just mouth the old thing, which was, oh, it's bad and all that kind of thing. But it's the only ray that I give a whole weekend class to.
Oh, okay. So that makes it important.
Very important.
Very important.
Yes. And there's a guardian in each ray. The black ray guardian is in every mm-hmm. ray. Well, they're getting a real download here.
Well, that's good, because that'll have people go buy your existing book, which is Healing with the Rainbow Rays, and your CD, Dolphin Merging. And let's get into your new book a little bit about cosmic chakras. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's picking up where Healing with the Rainbow Rays left off, and I often pull from that book because it has to have a springboard, and then I spring up to the next level or the next 10 levels
mm-hmm.
in the new book. And so while I list dimensions and what they're about in the first book, I actually work with them more in the second. And then there are dimensions that aren't even listed in the first book that I list in the second.
Uh-huh.
Also colors that are not in the first book that are in the second. See, I mentioned the 13 original rays, but they are blended and blended rays and alchemical rays. And there's tons of those. And so I start going into that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit in the first book, but much, much more in the second. And then there's some rays that weren't even talked about in the first that are in the second book. I also get very deeply into the shadow. I touch on the shadow in the first book. So it's like I'm introducing more things in the first book,
mm-hmm.
getting people starting to think about it. And then what I do is I develop them in the second book. So we have techniques on how to work with rage and how to work with jealousy and how to work with guilt and shame and that kind of thing, and techniques on actually how to find it in you and get rid of it.
Okay. Could you share one of those with us or a little bit of it?
Well, there's so many of them that I don't actually remember the techniques themselves unless I'm actually looking at it
mm-hmm.
because I've got, I actually did 20-some techniques in the shadows.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't, like, if you asked for guilt, I'd have to literally go get the thing
the book
and look it
okay.
up. Yeah, because I don't remember what specific colors are used. Especially, you know, when you channel this stuff, a lot of times it's out, it's gone, and then unless I'm around it more, I tend to forget it.
Exactly.
You know, unless I look at it again. And sometimes I look at my old book and go, wow, this is good stuff. Like, it's not somebody else wrote it, you know. You totally forget what you put in there, you know. So, I could tell you a typical one.
Okay.
It wouldn't be necessarily, let's say it's a shadow, and you can insert whatever shadow you want in there. And what you would usually do is connect to a certain dimension, and that means you turn your chakras to that dimensional frequency. And then there would be certain colors that you link in. And then you would bring forth, generally I have the great central sun, you bring forth to sort of illuminate you so you can see in your body where they'll come out as dark spots, like dark spots on a white wall.
Uh-huh.
So when you put that kind of intensity of the great central sun on you, it's like a spotlight. And so you can see in your body, or you can feel in your body where you've got those places. Like people go, oh, yeah, oh, God, I feel it in my gut, or it's in my leg. It's just, you know, congregations of where you store that kind of shadow energy. And then what you do is you usually get rid of it yourself, or you pair with somebody at a class, and you each take turns on the table, and they are tuned into the frequency of dealing with that specific, the best dimensions and colors that deal with that particular shadow.
Uh-huh.
And by doing that, this stuff just has to come out. It's better than 20 years of talk therapy, because basically you can get out in one session what might take years to talk about, because you're actually going after the layers in the body, the mind, body, spirit, you know, person,
uh-huh.
going in there, you know, in etheric and other layers, and you're pulling that stuff out energetically.
Okay.
And helping to then you shift it by putting the higher level energy in to take its place. You always replace energy that you've taken out. You never leave a void. You always bring in the higher level energies after that. So that would be like a typical way of dealing with a shadow. And then we deal a lot with the organs. I touch on them in the first book because that's a visceral science. Actually, it's called visceral work. With body workers that might have heard of that, where you're dealing with specific organs, but I see the organs as portals to other realities. They're not just, you know, a stomach or an intestine or whatever. They are our friends, and basically there are helpmates in the process of ascension and self-realization and all that kind of thing. So what we want to do is we want to clean them at all levels, because they have an emotional energy in them. Mental energy and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so we work with the organs. We'll, a class, at Matrix class, we'll take a whole half a day and work on one organ, getting deeper and deeper into it, and to clean it out and clear it out. So very powerful work in the second class. It's not for everyone, or second class, second book, I mean. Those classes are, they're intense.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a lot of connecting with hyperspace. We'll connect with spiritual bodies out in space, like, you know, like the solar system or a star system or black hole or a quasar. Those heavenly celestial beings give you power to come through you and amp up the energy that you're using for healing work. So that's a little unusual, too. I haven't heard anyone else use them before in healing work.
Yeah.
And so that's something I started with, Healing the Rainbow Rays, and continuing mm-hmm. with the new book.
Well, I think it's absolutely wonderful that you have chosen and accepted the role to be the channel to bring through this information that I really believe is going to help us through this turbulent time that's going to come toward us right now.
Yeah, I think it's definitely being able to remember what the teachings are in that. I've done my part in a sense to help people that resonate with my material, means in which to handle the most difficult of certain situations in a calm, you know, balanced.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like we need our little, we need our rudders, we need our techniques to help us not get caught up in the whirlwind of all the planetary stuff that's going on. And so what this does is it gets us in a good space. So we can kind of see beyond all the chaos into, you know, really what all this is about. And
mm-hmm.
so what we're doing, you know, the whole goal initially for us, I believe, is ascension. from the Earth Plane Wheel of Karma, of Cause and Effect, and these techniques, I feel absolutely, as my guides have told me, are beneficial for the ascension process.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. And you started it way back when, so that we'd have time to integrate it. And
yeah, I kind of felt like I sort of landed, you know, I kind of incarnate a lot here, and I kind of thought, oh, God, I think I came in too early again. Like to pioneer something, you kind of, I mean, I do. I actually said, darn it, you know, you probably came 20 years too early.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's all these new kids coming in. They totally get it.
Yes.
These rainbow kids and the indigos, and
mm-hmm.
they get what this is about.
Exactly.
I tell you, these kids in their teens and 20s and 30s, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well the world is shifting.
Yeah,
know,
so they're getting it. It's
mm-hmm.
for them. Well, it's for everybody, but, I mean, it's really for the new crop of people coming in.
Right.
Primarily. And so I guess I didn't come too early, but somebody said that.
You're right on time.
Because right? It is definitely, it is cutting edge, and it is pioneering, and you know, but it's so funny now because I have to laugh because all of a sudden I'm almost out of my printing of Healing with the Rainbow Rays.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden there's a run on them on Amazon. I'm selling more than I did 5 years ago.
Well, the information's needed, and
yeah.
you know,
and
people
just,
pick it up when they're
ready. How funny how many years I'm with them, and now suddenly it's become a bestseller.
Yeah, well, they're getting ready for the next one, so
yeah,
we're okay.
Yeah, well, definitely, I do think that once you buy Cosmic Chakras, you'll want to get the first book because it will, it's going to assume you know a few things, and
yeah.
So you might want to get the first one, too. So.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, my guest today has been Alejandra, and Alejandra, the hour has gone so fast. I really appreciate you being here with me today and sharing your expertise.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
And your website is colorhealing.com,
uh-huh.
and your phone number again is
408-986-8550.
And she's available for consultations, folks, and get online and buy her book and CD.
I want to mention I have a free newsletter, too. And
oh, okay, we'll sign up for it.
Address away to anyone, so... it just came out about a day ago for the new October, November, a little
mm-hmm.
late, but it's out, and so feel free to go onto the site, and you can sign up there if you want to get your own, you know, a notice every 2 months when I put one out.
Okay, and also take advantage of her articles, because she has many articles.
And I do guest articles as well.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're a writer that's out there that's writing good articles, please submit them.
Okay.
I do consider other people's work quite a bit in my website.
Okay, great. Well, Ollie, that's our time, so I appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Monique.
And come back again when your book is out.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, and thank you for tuning in to us today, and we'll be back next week. Have a great one. Take care. Namaste.
You have been listening to BS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.